Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. Good, wonderful evening to everybody. I won't tell everybody. Oh, that's a song too, ain't it? Well, let's get started with what we're going to be doing this wonderful evening. Tonight's show is dedicated and being set up for one LeAndre P. Holloway, alias Scooter, alias Leon, all of that in a bag of chips. You know, if you don't know what I mean by now, that's what it is. All of that in a bag of chips. It's all good. Yeah. Back to the neighborhood. Yes, LeAndre approached me not a long time ago, but a little while back. He's not old enough to be a long time ago stuff. But, you know, over the years, we've been able to discuss a lot of things that we really didn't get to discuss when he was young. Some things even like life and religion and challenges and, you know, all of the stuff a father's supposed to teach a little boy when he's young. Well, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to teach him a whole lot of what I knew. But, you know, through our meetings and staying together off and on and whatever, he seemed to have picked up quite a bit of my philosophical ideas and stuff, you know. So we were having a discussion one day about life and believability and being able to adapt, and he created an entire new vision from me, and that's no pun, you know. But he created an entire... I had been looking at him through stained glasses, you know, what I'd missed telling him, what I'd missed doing with him, and all of that. And he painted an entirely, I mean, entirely different picture. And I humbly submit to you, it changed the way I thought about a whole lot of things. I like to use the words misconceived and misperceptions and all of that there. But, I mean, I was undeniably totally wrong, you know, about some of the things that I thought I had missed. And he, on the other hand, was letting me know that he was just counting the blessings when he saw me, because, you know, he was picking up so much. That's what he said. But anyhow, getting back to tonight's show, so he dropped this on me like a ton of bricks, like a atom bomb from right across the street, you know, right above your head and all of that there. You can't miss the explosion. 365 hours with God. Didn't know he had that deep of a relationship, but, you know, there's a lot of things you don't know about your kids till you ask them. And coming up in Bonton myself, it was truly a blessing for me, because, you know, you got to see a whole lot of the real world, a whole lot of what perception could do to a real world, and all of that. You know, it was different, very different. So the social misconduct and stuff could get you put in jail. You know, cussing, spitting on the street, all of that, vagrancy, get you put in jail for a long while. Well, shoot, now, the way they talk to each other and use the N-word and whatever else, you know. I still like using the N-word. Now, I'm going to tell you about that, but then that's a personal philosophy, you know. We'll get to that next sometime. But anyhow, it's just so changed and developed and what they call it, evolutionized and all that, where things were so different, and technology and other things has opened the doors for a lot of things that was taboo and people was getting sent to jail for and everything, you know, so not so long ago, tell the truth, you know. Well, some of you youngsters, y'all don't call 20 years a long time ago, but to some of us that had to endure back then and do some other things, 20 and 25 and 30 years ago was a long time. Y'all will get to that sometime in life and begin to understand that each day should be cherished. But that's another story. So after he enlightened me that this was the type of show that he would love to do and why, I said, of course. So being that he's not here tonight, me and in my humblest way will try to sit in and hopefully say some of the things that he would have said, like I said. Because it's a wonderful thing with him being able to tell me about his affiliation with God and how it helped him through his trials and tribulations, that, you know, I just felt privileged with given that knowledge to be able to assist him in this endeavor, you know, because I kid you not, it's one of the best relationships you can have if you really believe. And I was telling a doctor friend of mine, everybody know who I'm talking about, Dr. Wonderful Morgan, that, you know, if you're able to share your opinion on some of everything, then you know why I am so blatant with what I said, because my daddy told me when I was a real little boy. He said, boy, told y'all. Y'all that done heard me before, y'all know. And I'm just about to say it again. That man called me boy so much, I thought he was taller. I mean, he called me boy every time. I asked him one time. I don't think I asked him but that boy. He didn't hit me or nothing. He didn't whoop me or nothing. But I asked him, daddy, do you really know my name? Because he called me boy all the time, and I didn't understand it then. And I grew to, there was a great, big, rich white guy right around by Fair Park on, at the time, it was Fitzhugh Avenue. You know, they be changing streets so fast, you don't know if they still there. You just turn your back. But Mr. Owen Finley, one of the richest men in Dallas, had quite a bit of property up by Fair Park and stuff. We met kind of sort of accidentally because when I first started at the Weekly, I didn't go into a lot of different businesses that I knew wasn't black because, one, I was looking for somewhere to cop a bill, and two, I really wasn't trying to make no whole lot of money. I was trying to make enough money to shoot some food and didn't really want to feel like I liked the job or owed it that much. Messed around, it's the only job I really had in my life. But back to the story. Mr. Finley, he had so much stuff in his office, you didn't know whether he was an insurance company or a pawn shop. But he had a lot of stuff, a lot of bills. And he owned the whole building, so, you know, you're going to say what you're going to do with it or something like that. Shit. He had rooms everywhere. He messed around. I think he gave that building to an organization that I belonged to at the time. We'll talk about that later, too. I got so much history. But Mr. Owen Finley, I you know, you're in South Dallas, then you're still not going to be in this door sometime, you know. Y'all understand that in a couple of years after you get Buntonized. But anyhow, I knocked on the door and closed up pretty tight, but you could tell the air conditioning was on and stuff, because air was creeping all out the door, you know. So he said, screamed and hollered, "Come in." I goes in, and wow, lo and behold, he was kind of sort of like the Tony Davis of the 70s. Yeah, early 70s. One slim, wasn't too big, but he was healthy. And he was bald headed. "Yeah, boy, how can I help you?" I said, "Excuse me, sir, but my name is Billy Parnell, and I work for the Dallas Weekly." He said, "Oh, Tony's paper. Have a seat." "Sir, I don't really want to sit down. I'm saying this to myself. I just want to know if you want to buy an ad. You know, I'm just trying to make friends and influence people. See what you're doing here and find out a little something and come back later. I don't want to sell nothing today. I'm looking for a beer." He said, "Boy, sit down. Let me tell you something." I sit down there. That man kept me in there 2 hours. Telling me about the history of South Dallas more than I ever thought I knew at the time. His son used to be on the city council. I think his son had passed, because he was the most, you could tell in his past that he had other type influences, where there is one reason he kept using "boy" a whole lot. But you could tell that he had, he had scrutinized some of his problems himself and began to regulate them. You know what I'm saying? He didn't use the N word at all. But you tell he had in the past. I mean, yeah, all of that was there. And you could tell in his affluent type of way, he was just trying to give back on knowledge and other things. He even asked me to go to work for him about two or three weeks, maybe a month, after I met him. Because he called out in my office like 10 times a week. "Boy, I ain't saw you this week." "Mr. Pittman, you just saw me Monday. It ain't but Thursday." "Well, boy, if you walk around this way, stop by to see me. Better yet, boy, come on right here and talk to me a minute. Mr. Pittman, it's a long way around there, and it's hot." "Boy, come on around here and talk to me." "Okay, Mr. Pittman, I'll be there in a minute." And I go around there and talk to him. First time he offered me a job, he said, "Boy, you know this Fair Park area is growing." I said, "Yeah, by leaps and bounds." I said, next time they make a move, they're going to get you." He said, "No, I ain't going to be here." He said, "I'm looking for somebody to start selling some of this property I got right now." He said, "I tell you what, when you get ready to leave, you walk around that corner there. The next street over was Lego. Right there, he was on the corner of Lego and Pitchu." He said, "Boy, when you get ready to leave, you walk around that corner there and walk down about a block and go to the left and walk down a couple of blocks, and all of that property is mine. And some on the other side and some on the other street back there." He said, "Boy, you could make a hell of a lot of money working with me." I said, Mr. Finley, I'm in sales. I don't know nothing about no real estate." He said, "I tell you what, you think about this, and I will give you 25% on all of the property that you sell for me. all mine. Can't nobody tell me what the hell to do with it. I'll give you 25%. That's more than any real estate man is getting in Dallas. And just so happened I had a few real estate friends. So I called around and even had a couple of them pop through. Who offered you something like that? Who is it? Man, I ain't talking about, man, I just asked y'all a damn question. You know, well, man, yeah, that's, man, shoot. You know, that's way more than the going rate. Way more. I said, yeah, well, I just wanted to find out because I'm thinking about buying some land, you know. Yeah. If you going to pay somebody that much, yeah, I'll find you some land. And, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So I found out that he was more than honest. He was more than fair. It still didn't make me want him. You know, I had had job offers before. Only job I ever really had was at the weekly. The other jobs I didn't even maintain, you know, family-owned businesses and stuff. I didn't even count them, you know. I had a ladies' clothing store that was family-owned for a damn near 4 or 5 years. So, but I didn't. I never matched any of them up with a job, you know, because I closed when I wanted to, I opened when I wanted to, and I didn't open if I didn't want to, you know, stuff like that. That ain't no job. When I opened at the weekly, folk came in the door, so I stayed there a minute, quite a few years. So, but I'd go to see Mr. Benning, and he said, well, boy, he's almost probably early the next week, you know, two or three times a week, every week, for a long while. And so I go up there, he said, boy, I'm going to tell you how to sell that property. I'm going to still give you 25%. He said, but if you contact some developers, Mr. Finley, I sell advertising. What in the world is a developer? He said, boy, developers is the one that come in and speculate your land. They look and see what they would like to give you for it, and they try to offer you something where you'll accept it because it's a good price, but it's not the best price. He said, so you have to watch them developers because they crooks. He said, what they'll do, if you told them that you had some land over here by Fair Park and you were ready to sell it, you'd have developers coming up to Swazoo or, you know, something. He wasn't black, so he didn't say Swazoo. He said something else. But I was kind of listening deep and half listening because I'm not going to be calling no developer. You know, I'm not. I thought about it years later, you know, like I did some of the other things that I was offered. And I said, well, Dallas Weekly, real lucky. I was loyal at the time because I had some offers to do a whole lot of stuff I wanted to do. And just, you know, couldn't, I had a cosmetology degree waiting on me at one time. All of that kind of stuff. But I stuck with the weekly. Thank you, weekly, for putting me in this deep hole. But I love the weekly. And anybody know me knows that's my heart. I might try to buy them out when I hit this lottery next week. But let's struggle on to the other part of this. This is really a learning experience because, as I said, after talking with my son and finding out the mission that he was on, even before he knew that I was totally headed in this direction of radio show ownership and websites and television shows and whatever, he said that he wanted to do some philanthropic things, like do his true diligence with the education he had gotten from the blind school that he went to. I don't know nothing better to call it. He went through this trade school this trade school for the blind to learn how to build and rebuild computers. And he said he would like to do that and give them to every child that needed a computer that he could find. I said, well, that's not going to be easy, but, you know, you can get a good start if you got to it kind of quick, you know. That's going to be a big chore. He said, well, Dad, I'm ready to start now. He said, so I got a little more schooling to do, a little more learning to do, and said, that's what I want to do. So after I surprised him and told him I had a radio show, man, you could have hit him with a feather and knocked him out. I thought he was going to faint right there on the spot. Cheryl Smith, I don't know, God's great interventions that a lot of times just keeps coming up with surprises for me. So, you know, I have no bad intentions when I'm telling people how much I'm associated and affiliated with the Lord. Because every day I get up, even through the night, I'm thinking about how much he's done for me. And to find out this late in life that he had also done the same for my son, my eldest son, protected him, carried him through. Yes, he's blind, but man, just to know he's here, and with God's help, some of the things he want to do, I can now provide for him and do for him as I should have when he was younger. So after we had a few more conversations and stuff, he said, well, let me tell you this. I said, what is it? He said, I want to have me a show that says something I've been planning. I've been thinking about fasting for 365 hours with God. I said, that's a pretty good challenge also. You know, people that try to fast for 7 days sometimes don't make it. I said, so, you know, I can understand. You know, I can understand your due diligence and giving back and all of this, but don't bite off more than you can chew. He said, but, Daddy, when he gets really serious, he said, Pop. But he said, Daddy, I think I can do it. He said, I think I can do it. He said, I'm going to tell you, I've been studying and studying and studying. I know these different languages. I know so-and-so. I said, boy, you really carried out when you were young, didn't you? Said, I didn't learn no language. He said, but you showed me how to do it. I said, I don't remember that. I must have been one of them nights I was drunk. He said, no. He said, you showed me because you said you can do anything you put your mind to. And, you know, stuff like that. So it carried me. It just carried on, take me away, you know. Put me in a bag and just tote me. I said, well, what you going to do? He said, I want to do, like I said, 365 hours with God and let people know that I'm fasting. And when I do the radio show, first thing they're going to ask is, you still fasting? And I'm going to be true and diligent and tell them yes. And, you know, stuff like that. So I said, Lord, have mercy. So this show is dedicated to that thought and that perception, because right now he's having a few personal problems and he can't be here tonight. But I said that, and I told a friend this, I think it was the guru lady, that as long as he's out, I'll try to hit his spot. But I'm not going to hold to all of that because I have to change it up. I'm not doing 365 hours with God. Y'all, I'm past. If you're looking for that card, stop. holler and stop. Say, ooh, this nigga, I mean, excuse me, this man is telling the truth, y'all. That's all I do. That's when find out if you really want to know, ask Uncle Billy. Because I ain't going to lie to you, I ain't going to lie for you, and I ain't going to lie about you.
Mm.
And if you remember those, you'll remember me. Because that's what I do. I tell the truth, like it or not. If you don't want no fact, don't ask Uncle Billy. Because if you ask Uncle Billy, you're going to get some crack. Even if y'all got to go hunt him. And he good at that, too. So, herein with tonight's show, and because it was so pleasing for me to even extend myself into that area and tell you all about how relevant my son is with his Lord and Savior, I figured I'd bring up that to let you know that, yes, I'm going to back his play as long as he needs me.
Right,
and,
right.
And anything else is unspoken of. I don't talk about people behind their back. I don't say it just because he get in a fight, he run and hide. Oh, I'm saying that too loud, ain't I? And won't tell dad about it. He want to fight by himself. But, you know, sometimes when you raise them like that, they think they invincible. He'll learn from God some of that, too. He's not invincible. But back to the main subject, I'm his daddy, and if he needs me, he know I'm there. You know, sometimes if he's listening, he can hear something like that, and it might change his mind about being so independent. Y'all don't hear me. But if he's listening, I just want him to know. Come get me, man, so we can fight together. Oh, nah. So, okay. Back to the basics of all of this was determining factors on Thursday night. And I'm giving everybody a heads up so that they can call in with their blessing. I hate I haven't had a chance to get to the office and start putting these flyers together and getting them out. But I got my laptop fixed yesterday. I got my laptop fixed, and it's on and popping. So I'm going to be able to design or go out and have somebody design it, yeah, using my laptop so that I'll be able to print it off and I'll do all of that. But I'm going to get some material printed up, a lot of different stuff, tallied up and everything, and we're going to start getting this information out in advance so you all have enough time to get your lives, I mean your stories together. Because I think that, you know, if we're going to start something, we need to finish it. So that was my great story of how God walked into my life through my son again, and he, you know, he was already there. I think I was just asleep. You know, that's not no lie either. I think I was something, you know, of but he woke me up with his statements of how much he thought he owed the world. And so we're going to start asking some of you all for your blessings and what welcomed you back into the real world of saying, I know I didn't do this by myself. I know that was a miracle. And I'd like to tell somebody about it. Y'all don't hear me. But you know, sometimes when you wake up in the morning, you know you shouldn't have. You know about doing all that wrong you did and all that there, doing all what you're doing now, you know. You still wake up in the morning. Oh, sometimes miracles happen, you know. And you're justified by getting on up and getting out of bed. You know, it's a miracle to wake up every day. So, you know, if that's all you got to tell, that's all you got to tell, if that's how you feel. You know, because I'm just Uncle Bill. I can't tell you how to feel. But I can tell you this. You didn't wake yourself up. And for God, show you didn't put yourself to sleep. You know, sometimes you have to look around. Sometimes you have to look up. And sometimes you have to realize what the young folks say. You better recognize. You know, sometimes when reality starts slapping you in the face and you get the devil praying, oh, Lord, save me this time. Save me this time, and I'll walk with you forever and ever and ever. As soon as you get out of there, you, oh, man, shoot, I'll start that next week, Lord. You know. Oh, I've been there, done that. You know, I traveled a whole lot of bumpy roads where I had to call sometimes. Lord, this is me. I ain't in the closet yet. I'm out here on the streets. I'm telling you, I need you. You just needed me when you were back there on the other corner. Well, Lord, they caught up with me. Yeah, that's because you stopped at that next beer hole and started back doing what you were doing at first. Yeah, you know, so, you know, some of the things you do, you know, you ain't guaranteed to wake up in the morning, so you know you're not doing it yourself. So just wake up and smell the coffee. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, I left those stairs, man, my mama had some flower beds like nobody else. Yeah, we won a couple of them best yard contests.
Yeah.
So my mama had rose bushes and stuff, you know, damn near tulip. I didn't know all of them flowers, you know. I knew the roses because everybody wanted to come pick some. But they knew my mama was watching. she had a pretty good garden. Man, we moved in the next week before I could get down there. They'll travel my mama's rose garden and everything.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like this. I think they were saying not like they was coming back. That's no reason to tear down beauty. You know what I'm saying? You tear down something because you really didn't like it all the time. And I was just saying, I said one time, I said, I'm going to stop going down there for a minute. I said, because some of them young folk down there going to make me get them. I was about to find out who did that. I'd have been real upset. So as far as not to be upset and stuff, I just stopped visiting for a while. Till it kind of left my mind. And the other day it just popped up. It just popped up to me about how people will destroy things just because they couldn't do nothing with it. That's the same thing happened down in Bundtown.
Yep.
You know, people begin to destroy their own stuff because they couldn't do nothing with it. Didn't know what to do with it. Hadn't been given the emotional turbulences of owning their own stuff to see go down by the wayside so they know the next time, take care of it. Or the next time you get close to something else that's gorgeous, take care of it. You know, and stuff like that. So right now, we are in the beautifying and business relationship business. So whatever we can do to help, give us a call. Better yet, stop by the office. Knock on the door. Ask for Uncle Billy. Ask for the guru lady. And pretty soon, we're going to be out in the hood so much, y'all ain't going to have to stop by the office. Y'all going to have to come by the beer. Oh, I forgot I don't drink no more. We're going to be in the hood. We're going to be in the neighborhood. Y'all don't hear me? I'm going to be down there so much, y'all going to be mad. Look at that. We can't even. And yes, kind of business I'm trying to get it. Same kind of business as I wanted back then. But guess what? Times have changed. Ideologies have changed. And if you're putting in a business that you don't care what's wrong with and stuff, you need to move. Take your business somewhere else. because we are in the business of taking care of business. You hear me? So, and that means all the way. You know, if you got a business and you're not trying to grow it, you just want to live in luxury at your house in North Dallas or whatever, but your business is in South Dallas, run down, ain't doing what it's supposed to do, and you're trying to kill somebody with your bad food and stuff, look before I get there, because I love good food. And I will holler. I will shout. I will, but they say, I will talk your business. So, take it as you see it. Take it like I said. There's going to be some resistance to our arrival. But guess what? I done had resistance before. And I'm still here. Hear me? Y'all don't hear me? I thank the Lord every day from 1979 and well before, but since I said I was going to start most of my comments and topics from the middle of my lifetime, I started something from the 30s, and I still can't on one hand, two hands, and all feet tell you how many times the Lord done did for me. So, yes, my son got it good, because I don't mind telling either. But guess what? When I asked for this project, when I asked to do this, I knew some of the problems I was going to face. I got friends still down there telling me sometimes, man, it ain't working down here, man. All the new stuff they were supposed to be putting up on Silkwood, all the stuff they were supposed to be doing, they did the park real good, though. That's not enough. One event once a month, that's not enough. Them kids got to have something to look forward to when they get out of school, go home, read their books and whatever, and come out to play for that little 30, 40 minutes that they got. Know what I'm saying? Go to the gym, go to the rec center, go something, what I'm talking, and go to a decent store where they ain't got to worry about getting cussed out, slapped, nothing else. You know, I don't play that. You slap my child, I'm going to entertain you. Yeah. So you know, you disrespect my child wrongly. You know, because it ain't no right way to disrespect no child.
Right.
So y'all don't hear me, but you know, like I said, I know some of the problems I'm gonna face when I get there. But guess what? Ever since I was a little boy, they've always said, Oh dear, man, enough to end it. Y'all listen to that part now. Listen to that part. Ever since I was a little boy, they always said, oh dear, man, enough to end it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got any correlation from boy to man, I'm it. When I was a child, I stayed in the child's place. But I became a man so early, I've gotten kind of used to it. Y'all will catch that in a minute. But guess what? Ain't no back up here. Everything's straightforward on the table. Transparency, what I'm talking about. Same thing I said the other night. It's okay to God dog me do what you do, but it's respect for me being right. You know, there are some wrongs that can be done right as long as you take care of your business. But if you do it in your neighbor's yard, if you do it in your neighbor's house, and they don't want you in their yard, they don't want you in their house,
right?
That's not right. That's not right. You call them in, Uncle Bill.
Trying to get that switch.
That's the only way I go. I believe in chastising. That way you don't get too many in your bowl. That way you don't get a whole lot of repeat offenses. That way That way the challenges get cut down to a minimum.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. So, yeah, what they say, if you're going to walk, talk that talk. Well, I talk first.
Yeah.
And I can't walk very well now. Thinking about getting me a scooter, but I don't be going to ride around $5 on no scooter all day. So,
You can ride in the bicycle lane.
Yeah, well, I think I might get me a golf cart for that.
Oh, that'll work.
Yeah.
That'll work.
So we going to make something happen, and like I said, we going to see y'all, and y'all going to see us. Just think, we from the community. We from the hood. We from the area. Whatever you want to call it. Whatever. I was looking at some maps last night, and I got to call the city of Dallas tomorrow and get hold to some of these maps. These erroneous maps ain't been changed in 40 years, 50, 60, or something. And we're going to get some clear-cut maps in which we can work with, in which we know we can do some improvement in some of those areas. I still submit to you, Marburg, what's those streets up there next to Marburg? Tanner and all of those streets up.
Yeah.
Got some
Southland.
Houses. Yeah.
Up in the, Marburg, yeah, you said Marburg, Southland. What's next up there? Reed Lane.
Yeah. All of them streets got some nice houses on them, baby.
Yeah. You're right. Carpenter.
So we coming to try to do our best. Anything that we can do to help you, just let us know. Tell us what the problems are and see if we can help solve the problem. And, you know, if you believe in God, you know ain't nothing impossible. Give us a chance. That's all I ask. And as everybody well know, the shows are shorter on Tuesdays and Thursdays because they are not formally my nights. But I will be back tomorrow night. This show will have another 20 good minutes because I'm fixing to let the guru lady tell you what she's seen in South Dallas today, yesterday, and the day before, and what's going on, and what she think is coming. I'll holler in a minute. Guru lady, you got the tape.
All right. Ben, how you doing?
Oh, man, I am doing. I'm going to tell you what I cooked for dinner later on in the conversation. Sunday.
Oh, I know that's right. That's right. I first want to tell you I enjoy when you talk about your son and the adversity that he's overcoming, and he still have a heart to want to help the children with their get a computer, because you know these kids can't live without computers these days. And
right.
From a family that they have other priorities, you know, it could be rent, you know, and other utilities and different things, the household items, and it could be other things that are not so righteous, but, you know, they spend it rather on those negative things or whatever that is not conducive to their children learning. But that's something that I really admire him for. And knowing that you and he are obtaining such a pleasant relationship at this juncture, and that, you know, as you were stating earlier about the blessings and the miracles, you know, it's a blessing and a miracle for you to be, as they say, on one accord, even having pretty much same some of the same type of disabilities. You know, it's like as if God said he just you know, he work in mysterious ways, and he go through a generation, and then that next generation go through the same situation. And that's why the doctors always say, well, what type of situations, health adversities exist in your family, you know? And, you know, it's always good to just know those type of things, even though, you know, those weren't what you call, those aren't what you can pass down from generation on some of those, you know, some of that. But at the same time, it's just good to have that relationship flourish and at this stage in the game. But I also was laughing when you were talking about he was going fast through 65 days.
You what?
That was pretty good when you said that he told you he wanted to fast for 365 days. You turn into your comedian self then, because you had me going. Serious. You had me going. You said, well, 365 days, that's a little bit. And I was like, wow, you know, I've heard of Gandhi, you know, fasting for, what was it, 365 hours?
Yeah. 365
hours. Still a long time. I said, that's still a long time. I've heard of Gandhi doing that, but you know, the only other people that do that are the ones who can't help it. But, you know, some people do it to make a point. And that's very, very understandable. But to get back to what you were talking about, you know, we had that Martin Luther King parade. And I didn't go to it, but I did see some on the TV, and it seemed to be a pretty nice event. However, there was a shooting, they said, at the end of it, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
Right over there at the J.B. Jackson Rail Center. Yes. You know, that was something that was, you know, that it's
that's
it's
that name
that
we were talking about. J.B. Jackson. I call him Dallas
Jackson.
I call him.
Okay.
Yeah. But the guy up at Eva's Barbecue, I mentioned her earlier too.
Right.
She was on the radio show at the time that her husband was on TV telling him about how the parade marched through there and it made him so proud. And he had an old picture of Dr. King and stuff. I mean, in the 50s.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna ask a copy of that, and amongst other things, I'm going up there one day this week, I hope. But yeah, all of that. So while he was on TV talking about how long they had been there and stuff, his wife was on the radio show saying that they will never leave South Dallas.
Yeah, no reason to. Not when you got all your roots there. We feel more comfortable in South Dallas than anywhere else in the world, not just in Dallas.
That's
but
right.
Anywhere else in the world, there's no place that you can go and see people, whether they are doing well or not so well or in between. You know, I'm right there on the crux of it, so I definitely know what I'm speaking about. But you can speak to, you can walk down, say, about six blocks and find somebody that you was in kindergarten or first grade with, may see about three or four of them. Then you can walk about six more blocks, and you will see about three or four more of them. And about those three or four of them may be together, just out and about.
Yeah.
Maybe just riding around in South Dallas. What you doing here? What y'all doing here? Because that's how we grew up. And people say, well, why y'all this and that and that? You know, a lot of people envy us. You
yeah.
know that?
Yeah.
A lot of people envy the type of relationship that we can continue, because if you look at it, there's no other place in Dallas, for instance, that can brag or state that I have all these different classmates, people I used to hang with, my sister hung with, knew me when I was a little girl, before I even, you know, got of age. You know, there are some of those who are here that can tell me more about myself than I know when I was younger, because they were with my sister and my brother at that time. They were older. That's how it always went in the project. You got your older siblings or your older people in your family, whatever type of extended family feature there was or is, you know, because we live by that extended family. One thing else, one other thing I wanted to just add, because you were talking about your mother's flower garden, is that there was a lot of them that continued those type of yours, because you have to understand people, I know you do, but a lot of people don't understand that we had some mothers that was born around the 20s and the 30s and in the projects in the beginning. Maybe some earlier, I don't know. But I know some, right, the date is 91, getting ready to be 92, that was down there at that period of time. And she kept those elephant leaf plants and different things like that. But what you had was people who had lived, some of them who had lived on farms, sharecropping areas, like my mom. Lived in a big old home in East Texas, you know, before us coming through Pine to get to the project. But basically, they had a pride about their property. They didn't believe in tearing up things. That was something that we just ran into later on when we found out that there were people who don't care about their property or anybody else's, or respect anybody to that extent. We had to run into those type of people, and I'm still running into them, because if you were brought up properly, you can never get used to dealing with people who don't have any type of respect for people, you know, who will say anything negative in front of anybody they want to, you know, whether it's something that's profane or just totally just out the way. But we was brought up a certain way, and those are the type of people that, you know, we tend to gravitate to. And one thing about it, when two people of a different ilk come together, you see, either one, say one, they are on two different levels, either the one is going to bring one up or the other one is going to take you down. So it's only, you know, up or down way. It's not going to be we're going to meet on the same level, because you're going to have to go down to get them, and you may not be able to get back up. I've done that before, haven't you? But at any rate, just thinking about something else that you had talked about, those blessings and miracles, glad to hear something on that true and unadulterated gospel. You know, I'm non-denominational myself. So when it come down to people saying, well, why people don't like this one and that one and that one? Well, see, I don't need to subscribe to a name when it come down to it, because I know that there's only one creator. Now, I look at it this way, and I've had people come to my door in all different types of areas. But when a person come to me with a certain type of a particular brand that they want to name, Seventh Day Christian, Methodist, whatever, holy, and they want to use a different name for the creator of heaven and earth. What I like to do in order to just let everybody know that regardless of what you believe in, do you believe in good and bad, and which one do you ascribe to? See, if you ascribe to being the best person you can, then just take the label off, just like take the label off of black and white. Take the label off and just say, hey, I believe in doing right, and I do believe in a God. And if you don't, if you say you don't believe in a God and you're a good person, then really, that's not even for me to sit up and judge. I don't subscribe to those type of idiotic type of conversations with people. I deal with what's in your heart and your mind, and that's just me. You know, I could be wrong, but if I am, I got a creator who's going to make that decision for me. But this is the one thing that I always let the people who say knock on your door or want to have a debate or situation. I used to debate when I was younger, but you know one thing about that 5-0 don't play. When you get to step over that little broom and hit that 5-0 town, a lot of that little play stuff that you used to do and a lot of those little subscriptions you used to take when people confronted you, they you throw them out the door because they're very immature. And if you haven't grown any, that shows that you have been stagnated. And I meet a lot of stagnated older people. It's a sad thing to see. It's like an illness, you know. It's right around some of those things you take people out to in an ambulance for when you see someone with those mentalities. But going around the corner again, coming to it, when somebody come and they start asking me about my particular brand or religion, et cetera, who my Heavenly Father is, and I let them know right away, this is the way I do it. I say, I'm going to tell you something about that. You have a physical father, don't you? Yeah. I say, I have a physical father. I say, do you know your father's name? Yeah. I say, I know my father's name. What's yours? Or it's such and such. Well, mine is such and such. I say, I love my father. You love your father? Yeah. I say, well, my father is the only one that actually procreated for me. I say, and I know him personally, and you know your father personally. So, therefore, you can't make me call your daddy's name when I want to talk to my daddy. I'm going to call my daddy's name, and vice versa. I'm not going to call your daddy's name when I want something. And that take away all those debates. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, I understand what I'm saying. Okay, we can be friends. We good. Because guess what? I'm not that judge or jury. But the only thing you need, you know, the best thing that I'm going to look at you is what's in your heart and in your mind. Other than that, you know, it's not even an argument. Let that go. You don't want to work on a Sunday? Don't do it. But if it's a judge me, I'm just going to put down to it. You don't eat pork? Well, and I'm going to mention feelings in a minute. Whatever religion. But don't talk about me because I know a whole lot of people that didn't have them throw away pork or whatever.
I got a whole pot of pork. It was a whole pot. It's not a whole pot now. It was Sunday.
Yeah, they live to be in their hundreds, and here you are talking about all week this and that, and you get shot when you're in your 20s. You stop eating pork for what? Shoot, you doing some of those negative things, or you getting caught up? You better go and take care of yourself in a healthy way, because a lot of things are irrelevant and immaterial that we seem to want to lean on and try to call somebody to come over to think this way or that way. The only way to think is taking care of your children, taking care of your elderly, being respectful to your neighbors, dealing with some of those Ten Commandments if you do want to read in the Bible. There's Ten Commandments, but there are 613 cardinal ordinances. And see, that's another thing that a lot of people don't get off into. But I do have that type of knowledge of that Bible. So one thing I do look at is a threefold, and that is you are better when you know the streets, when you know the books, and I mean knowledge, real serious knowledge. And I do understand streets, that's part of just common sense, too. Then you get in them books. You want to talk about certain books things. Then you want to talk about God. You want to talk about the Creator, too. Just that triple threat, you know. And it's not a good thing to go up against someone that's on a different level. And it's not a bragging thing, but what you have to do is understand why God give some people an understanding things, and some people that don't have an understanding. They are of a certain type of nature to where they don't never want to come to an understanding. And it's going to be that way. It's going to be that way. But we want the ones who are ready to understand and work together and make South Dallas great. Just like Donald Trump talking about making America great, we want to make South Dallas great.
And even better. Yeah.
There. And I said
know,
that.
Charity begins at home.
It better.
I'm starting in the backyard a bunch, huh?
It better. And if you don't, you know, somebody going to get kicked out when they don't bring it home.
They got to. I told a whole lot of folk, you know, I ain't holding nothing against you, but, you know, if you're wrong, you're just wrong. And if you don't back up and try to do it right, you wrong girl, you know. Let's get real. Let's keep it real.
You know, the older you get your tolerance, the less tolerance you have for fools. I suffer a baby. I suffer a real child. But I'm not going to suffer some old fool long. You know, you have to just get on out the way. I'm sorry. I ain't got time for you because, you know, number one, you're going to have to come to a knowledge and an understanding quickly or you're going to get left behind. I mean, that's just what it is. It is what it is. And right now, if you don't come to humble yourself and say, well, I know I don't know things, and I know that there's some things that I can be taught, and you're teachable, then there's room for you. But if you get to a level, and I run into them every day, to where, you know, you just don't care about yourself. You know, our brothers and our sisters going from corner to corner, same clothes every day, doing some of the things that they should have stopped 20, 30 years ago. And you look at them and you, well, I'm not going to say it's not something I know personally, but one thing about it, they going to say what them kids say, they going to talk 100. They're not going to sit up and brag about what they do. They already know that I know what they do. But at the same time, they're going to give me that understanding and that respect. So what you call it, to know that they're not going to tell me I need to go and can I borrow a dollar to go give me something to eat? If I give you a dollar, I know what you're finna do with it. It's better off you tell the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, that's the nature of the corner. That's the nature of the corner. And people want to sit up and act like they. A lot of people don't know, and I do know that. It's a thing that we call it green, Bama, whatever you want to say. But at the same time, and then a lot of people, well, you know, I got to do this for God. Say, well, you could give somebody something that take them on out of here, you know, because they already had enough money, and they go get what else they need, and they take them on out. You better think about that, too. Go get them some food if you don't know what they're doing.
Well, you know, those are the kind of people we're gonna try to duck because they perpetrating the fraud. You know, most
those
of the
kind
guys,
of people gonna duck us. Those kind of people gonna duck us because you know what I'm saying. Those are the see if they don't. One thing about street that a lot of people don't understand. We always used to, one of the main ways that you see somebody get into it is somebody call somebody a B.
Yeah.
And you say, friends will say, you B, then the other one, I'm talking about females basically, mostly, and the other one, you a B. And then what was the next statement? It take one to know one, right?
Hey.
That's the next statement. And then, bam.
This thing you know, this being passed.
That's it. But it takes one to know one. So if you run up on somebody that already know your game already gone. And that's the nature of the thing. And whether you in one of the top banking buildings in the world or whether you're on the streets, homeless, et cetera, it's a game that's played.
That's right.
And different people can go in different places and understand their game. It's just like you can give a guy in a suit, certain color, and he can go in that bank. He can rob that bank just by his conversation because he know everything about it, right?
That's right.
He been in that job. He know that man. That he the same. He come from the same background as that. That person, he know his likes, his dislikes, his wants, et cetera, et cetera. And he can go in there and get that money out just as legal as he wants to. Go get him to write him a big old fat, $1 million check. And I'm just, that's putting it lightly because a whole lot of them Ponzi schemes got paid. Banks. The housing market, you know, I mean, they were just paid. Some of the same things that people are talking about every time they want to say something about food stamps, it's a black face on it. But the numbers speak and tell you otherwise. So we're dealing with the facts, and people don't understand facts. If you put facts on people, they tend to just kind of creep away, like or kind of sit down a little lower because they be on a soapbox talking real big about a certain thing until you give them the facts of the matter. Once they hear the facts, then they go away or they kind of back up because they got to bow down to knowledge and understanding, wisdom.
People and a lot of folk don't understand this because they're not trying. But some people think that bullshit is a bargain. You know, they'll try you until they find out you ain't going for it, and then they try to make friends with you. But see, right. after you done tried me, I ain't really fuck trying to make friends with you right there, because I'm going to start trying to learn who you are.
And why you won't take me for granted, because you had to figure out that just because I look this way, I'm more true to it and not new to it.
Right. Right. Oh, I had to do that several times when I first started.
I know it.
Folks didn't understand that. I said, this suit just a figment of your imagination of who I really am, young partner. And then they think about it. What is he saying? Yeah, if you really listen, you'll understand that I didn't just get there, and I sure didn't just fall off the apple truck. You know? And I just leave it at that.
Right. Well,
I'm going to have to cut this show off in a minute. I've got to still run.
Well, you know, it's that time. I've already ate my little food. I got to take my medicine on time. But you have a good one, Uncle Billy.
I got to find out how to get to this domain name I done paid for. So,
Hold on. I wasn't intending to write that down, too. Now, what's the name of it?
GoDaddy. You know, I bought a domain name. Welcome to Uncle Billy's World.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Billy's New Renaissance.com.
Okay.
I'm looking forward
to
finding it. From GoDaddy.com.
Okay. Isn't it another one?
Huh?
Is there another one?
No, we got the other ones already up.
What's that other one? Give me
Welcome
the name of one more.
Welcome to UncleBillysWorld.com and BuntonRising.com.
Bunton what?
Rising. R-I-S-I-N-G.
Okay. Welcome to Uncle Billy's World.
Okay.
I had these on my heart to get another tablet, put stuff in, because I'm going through three or four of them and having to find it. But I got GoDaddy.com, Uncle Billy's Renaissance.com, Welcome to Uncle Billy's World.com, and BuntonRising.com. Do you spell Bunton, BONTON?
Yeah, I put a hyphen through it, but they didn't put nothing
okay.
through it.
Oh, okay. They didn't put it in there?
No.
Okay. I don't need it then.
What I'm looking for is Uncle Billy's New Renaissance, the domain name.
Okay. See, I got Uncle Billy's Renaissance. Is it new in there or not?
Uncle Billy's New Renaissance.
New, okay. Gotcha. Well, I'm going to try it both ways.
I'm looking at the web. I'm looking at the web page, but I'm wondering how come the domain name ain't up here.
Oh.
That's the reason it won't come up.
Oh, okay.
So,
Pull up. And see what's going on, because I haven't had a chance to do that, unfortunately. So I'll be hollering at you.
Well, I'll holler. Yeah,
holler.
Have a good shot.
I did. I did. Enjoyed it.
All right.
Nice.